Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to a post-Dynamite Fightful podcast post-show deal. It's always weird when they have me host this without Kate, because I honestly, Kate and I have a rhythm where we just get back and forth to start this whole thing out. Or if I'm the co-host and Sean starts the whole thing, it's different. But here, you've got a double shot of Alex. This is what we call an AA meeting, and we are here to start this thing off on a good note, hopefully. Hey, get in your super chats at the bottom of the YouTube dealy. Go to humperchats.com, send in a humper chat. That might be preferable for us because we get a little sweeter piece of the pie. Either way, we're just happy you're donating. Thanks so much. Get your comment or hot take read live on the air. We will make sure to address it in the order of what we're talking about, the topics tonight. So if you send in something right now about the main event and we're not talking about it, you don't have to send in something else going, hey, why aren't you reading the thing I sent? We will talk about it when we get to the main event. Cool? Great. With me is Alexis Cardoza.
Cardoza, how are you? I'm pumped for tonight, bro. First of all, I'm glad. But by the way, do not adjust your screens. You're not watching us through a Meta device or anything like that, through a Periscope or binoculars. This is us.
This is us. Now, we struggled mightily before the show started on what the size of our balls should be. Should they be this big or should they be smaller? And we ended up going with a much larger set of balls. I mean, circles, not balls, circles, whatever, the round things that we're inside of. So as you can tell, we're planning for this show to go entirely off the rails because it's not fun otherwise for me.
That was our whole decision for starting late, was because we just couldn't figure out whether we were hot, cold, or indifferent.
True. Yeah, exactly. I was a big fan of this particular night of wrestling. Two things: no Jericho, Darby lost. So I am riding on cloud nine. So I don't know about you, but I mean, I have two criteria: no Jericho, Darby loses, and all of a sudden that's a 10 out of 10 show for me. So how did you feel about it, Alex?
You know what? I totally forgot that Jericho was not part of a 10 out tonight's AEW Dynamite because I was so enriched in everything that was happening. Mm-hmm. There was so much wrestling and storytelling in the ring, and waiting for who might show up through those doors. And you know, we'll get to it, but we definitely business picked up a little bit there.
I don't think they're hurting.
Oh,
for more business. For more business. Manda X31 says no learning tree, 100% win. Hi, Double A. Hello to you. It's Double A. Not
Hi. Anderson.
It's Alex Alexis. It's a different thing. Tom LaValle says obligatory. I'm seeing double 8 clavicles.
Oh yeah. Well, that was for free, boys.
yours are better than mine, honestly. I feel kind of just put to shame here.
No. One day we'll meet and we'll rub clavicles together.
One day we'll meet. I'll leave it there. I'm not promising to rub clavicles with you. I barely know you, let's be honest. So Cyclo, who has been sending in chats earlier in the day with kind of like an ironic prediction for what happens, and then I'm supposed to read it and then see how correct he was. Here we go. OMG! Who could have expected him to answer Perry's open challenge? That's on Collision. Jericho was actually pretty good tonight. That's on Collision. And he says, no, I can't even pretend that's true, LOL. Moxley murdering Darby was the right choice. Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I was gagged when Danielson didn't even show up for the match with Nigel. How close was I? Well, you got Moxley right. Everything else, not so sure.
Yeah. I mean, he had you for the first couple seconds with Danielson, but.
Well, listen. They were selling shirts that said Danielson versus McGuinness. Like, they printed up all kinds of stuff. He was definitely going to show up. Now, I did think maybe they were going to do McGuinness wants the match starting now. And they're like, Danielson is not here, but he is on his way. So, like, started off with Danielson thinking, I've won! And then they do the match later in the night. But they were like, no, we're just going to play him out to his regular, song, and he doesn't show up. And so then McGuinness is like, I want a 10 count. If he doesn't answer the 10 count, then I want to be declared the winner. And, he says, I think I demand that Brian be stripped of his AEW World Heavyweight title. And then it was very funny where, like, Shivani's like, well, I don't think that's necessary. Like, he was just like, this isn't a title match, so there's no reason for them to do that. But I think maybe McGuinness had a point, and I think maybe that should have been added to this ahead of time. Like, if Danielson cannot show up, then McGuinness is not the champion, but neither is Danielson. Like, if you laid that out in the lead up to this, all of a sudden the stakes are much higher. But Danielson does show up. Two final countdown. That song, I believe, was played 3 times tonight. Tony's like, how much is WWE paying me? All right, I'm going to use 1/4 of that and just pay the guys who wrote Final Countdown all of that money. And because that they apparently it's very expensive for him to do it. So so Danielson comes out, and there was not. Everybody who made a big stink about they're not presenting the story on television enough. There are lots of people who never saw their matches. There's lots of people who are fans now who were small children when they last had a match against each other. So you owe it to your current fans to explain more of it. And I think there's a lot of things that I don't know about. And I realize that a lot of other people seem very excited about it, but I don't know anything about it. So I take it upon myself to research it on my own. I know it's the thing, you can't say just Google it. Well, I'm not saying to Google it, but I'm saying that I Google it. I Google it when I don't know what people are talking about.
Sure.
And it's very easy to find all the information you want about their feud years ago, why McGinnis left, all this stuff, if you Google it. The one thing I wish that we had seen in some way prior to the match was them talking face-to-face. Like, I needed Danielson's rebuttal in some way that was not just, I wrestled a match against you and beat you. Spoiler alert, Bryan Danielson won the match. But, like, I don't think there was anybody who thought McGinnis was going to win. So, like, that whole thing of, like, Nigel, I always had respect for you. But at this point, this vendetta you have against me, I just feel sorry for you. Like, and if the thing that you need is for me to get in the ring and kick your effing head in to get over this, then that's what I'll do. But we never got anything from Danielson spoken to McGinnis. And that is the one thing that I kind of wish we had gotten before the match. How did you feel about the way they set up this match? How they got into it? The big long promo, I don't know if you saw, at the end of Collision, where McGinnis laid out more demands about why he needed to do it. How did you feel about all that?
You know, it's funny because I was one of them that wasn't very hip to Ring of Honor or what they were doing in the past. I can totally tell you right now, flat out, I had no idea because I just wasn't into that. Did I do my digging and did I go back and just started learning and educating? Yes, I did. I thought that this meant more for Nigel.
Yeah.
This whole thing, because Bryan has had this incredible career up to today, right? I mean, he still has a career, but, you know, tonight's match. So Nigel is the one begging and pleading that he needs this more than ever. And he has to bring him into the ring and beat the crap out of him. I wish I would have heard a little bit more, like you said, from Danielson, maybe like a rebuttal or just jumping on him or saying something. But just the sheer fact that you saw a Nigel McGinnis just go completely bonkers trying to get this match in the last 2.5 to 3 weeks left me going, well, this means that he's really, 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 really interested in either beating the crap out of Danielson, taking his career. Something's there. It all culminated tonight. It was good to see, man. It was like after rewatching the old stuff and seeing so many years, what, 15 years pass by or something like that, or 18 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see that the man still has it in the ring, man. It's just, it's nuts to me.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about. There are people who have come back recently, in recent years, from a decade away from the ring. You know what I mean? Punk was away between WWE ring and AEW for like 7 years.
Yeah.
But like Edge was out for a decade. You know, like so like I want to see here the exact date between matches. Like 2011, 13 years, 12 and a half years, because it was December of 2011 was the last match McGinnis had before he came back at All In and was wrestled part of that gauntlet. 2011, like that's crazy to me that he even came back and look at what amazing shape he's in. And I don't know like how long he's been training for this, like getting, you know, reps in the ring with other guys. But he looks top notch to me. Like McGinnis was out there having really great counters. Like all of his, everything was super solid. Like I hope now this is again, the caveat being whatever the guy wants to do, then I hope that that's, if he came back to do this one match and then call it a career, then God bless him.
Sure.
But if he wants to keep doing it, I hope he does. He's really good at this. I love him on commentary. I really do.
Yes.
But if he says, I want to take a commentary, that'll always be there. But I don't know how old he is, 40-something. I don't know how many years I have left. Let me wrestle for a couple more years, and then I'll get back on the commentary desk. Good for him, because I can't wait to see what other things he could possibly do.
I agree. I would love to see him maybe do one-offs, you know, maybe twice a year. Not really a one-off, but two-offs, you know, like just kind of someone pisses him off enough that he says, you know what, maybe I need to show you who I was and what I used to do. Because, I mean, from when he was hanging upside down on the turnbuckle, the core strength, standing on his head, keeping himself up there. There's so many little things that we have not, like, we can't even take for granted, bro. It's just insane. Yeah.
48. He's 48 years old.
48 years old.
He looks fantastic.
My God.
Because, like, I'm not casting aspersions on what he looked like when he was wrestling full time, but he was never this lean.
No.
He was a beefier dude. Like, he wasn't like fat or a body guy or whatever, but like, he had some heft to him. And this is a completely different guy. He's carrying around a lot less weight. That's a lot better on your old joints. So like, this is really great for him.
Yeah.
The match was outstanding.
It really was.
He had Danielson scouted. He kept doing things to the repaired arm, trying to hurt him. He was doing stuff where he was like, I'm going to let you do this to me because when you do that piece of offense, it's going to hurt your arm more than it hurts me. And he was just sitting there like letting him do European uppercuts and then like, aha, outsmarted you. Great, great stuff. I hope this isn't the end of the story between them. But hopefully this is the last of this particular type of the story. It'd be really cool if somehow like Danielson needed backup one time and McGinnis like begrudgingly becomes his ally would be nice. Or like there's all kinds of stuff he could do in AEW with other people. Listen, GYV looks kind of directionless right now. They're a great tag team. McGinnis, like basically becoming the William Regal to their new version of a BCC kind of a thing. He would wrestle, but he wouldn't wrestle often. He would just make sure, take those guys under his wing, make sure they were the greatest. My pitch, if Garcia resigns, have Nigel bring Garcia in. And if you want to keep this antagonistic stuff between him and Danielson, have, while Danielson's part-time, have McGinnis mold Garcia into the perfect dragon killer. Like, teach him everything he knows about how to get under, to get Brian. So when Danielson does retire, he's set up Garcia to be the guy to put him away for good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do.
I'll throw one at you, brother. What if you take, if he decides to call it quits in the ring, right? Where he does become other than, then you have someone like a Danielson. You have someone like a McGinnis who can aspire and put together groups of young talent to face each other on their behalfs. And I mean, then, you know, you can possibly get a part three between them or whatever it is, part four.
Sure.
You know, later on down the line, like it doesn't have to be specifically them two going at it. They can have their counterparts say, you know, this is who I'm training. And then he comes out and says, well, I can do better than that. Yeah. You know? Oh man. Yeah. I mean, they opened up the door for a lot of things.
Yeah. So, we'll talk about the finish, which is that, throughout as the forearm was more and more damaged, Danielson wasn't able to lock in the lapel lock because he had to put too much pressure on his forearm to do it. But eventually he does and taps out McGinnis. But McGinnis, well, I'll put it this way. Before he taps out, he does not say thank you. Because that is what Jim Ross thought he said, and that is what Tony Schiavone agreed that he said. He did not say that, because if he did say that, they would not have bleeped it. So he definitely said a different one-syllable word that ends in a K, and then the word you before tapping out. And I thought that was really great. I like you, like, I'm going to tap out, but I'm going to let you know how much I hate you on the way out. I thought that was very great. Good.
That's on his way out. You know, it's like one of those scenes where you're upset. You got to leave you're leaving the house. And you got to get your last word in.
Yep. Just one last thing before I go. After this, we get Christian coming out with his contract. And this is a different kind of contract than, I guess, the Money in the Bank contract. You actually have to sign the contract right before you cash it in, which I feel like you could probably just do that at any time and just leave it in the little file folder thing. The little, what's that thing? It's like a little, it's a document protector or whatever. It's like metal.
I don't know
what it is, but it's like, it's a weird, like,
it's a clipboard that you put up stuff and in. Then,
yeah, I'm not sure. It's a clipboard you put stuff in. Thank you very much. It's a clipboard you put stuff in. That's the scientific name for it. And so he lifts it up to do it. And before he can sign it, Kip Sabian sneaks out on stage and yoinks the pen and runs away. And then Christian tries to chase after him. But then there's Claudio and Pac there who like stare him down, and he just continues to chase after Sabian. So here's the deal. Well, first of all, what did you think about all of this?
First of all, I think that the reason why he needs to sign it is like having, when you go to, what is that called, a notary? You got to have people present. So I think.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
having
maybe
an arena of 9,000 people.
You
got to
have a witness. Yeah.
9,000 witnesses, I think, was the quota from what I read on one of the contracts.
Yep.
But I'm confused as to what's happening with Kip Sabian. I'm glad he's getting TV time because he's a great character. But I don't understand what's happening there. So I'm a little confused as to, like, is he his long-lost dad?
Yes. As far as I can tell, the only thing that connects him to Christian at all is that he recently lost his father for real. And that's Christian's bit.
Yeah.
And Nick Wayne has basically said, Don't come around me or my father ever again. And Kip Sabian continues to do so. But, like, what is... I thought for a second he wanted to join the patriarchy, but now it seems like he wants to thwart Christian Cage. What is any of this? And like, you already had a thing where you had Claudio and Pac backstage. If Claudio and Pac came out and looked at Christian and said, "You're not doing this because our guy gets that title, not you," then that I have no problem with. The Kip Sabian stuff, I don't understand what, like, they haven't done a very good job that I have seen. Now, if they put it on YouTube and I didn't watch it, sorry. But they haven't shown it on Dynamite enough where I know exactly why he cares. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What is the deal here? Also, and yeah, this is on me, I guess. But like, I don't give a damn about Kip Sabian. They've never given me a reason to. Like,
True. Like
how long was he just the dude who showed up in the stands wearing a bag on his head?
A bag over his head, yeah.
Like, how long was he that? And since he stopped doing that, I feel like he's done mostly like just Rampage stuff here and there. And like, I don't know what he's like. I know he did a thing for a while where like Miro was his friend. Remember when Miro was bleach blonde for a while? But like, that was during the Wednesday Night Wars, and I was covering NXT for this. And like, anytime I had to like catch up on AEW, I just fast forwarded past that stuff because I thought it was dumb. And I thought, there's no chance any of this means anything. And guess what? It really didn't. By the time they did the big brawl with an arcade thing and all that stuff, it was fun. They moved past it. It didn't actually affect anything. And then he was under a bag forever. And then he came back and like he was with the Butcher and the Blade for a bit, but not really doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I don't begrudge a guy getting TV time. Good for you. But can you do more with him? To like establish him as like, why do I care about him? I don't know why.
It's just, you know, you would think that there would be more context to what's been happening. I understand, like, he's just showing up in a lot of the backstage interviews. Like, the last week, he just kind of like, where Christian went after him.
Yeah.
But there's still no context. I guess him showing up.
I guess I'm fine with whatever angle there is that they're running with him and the patriarchy. I just don't feel like Kip Sabian is in a position on the card where he himself, by himself, thwarts a world championship match by stealing a pen out of a guy's hand.
Yeah.
It just feels silly to me. And you know what I don't want in AEW? A bunch of silly stuff, because I get that enough on Mondays and Fridays and Tuesdays. Wednesdays are sacred to me because it's not extraneous silly stuff. But we'll have to see. I mean, I like Christian like holding the inevitable cash in over Danielson's head, but we'll see where it goes. Yeah. Oh, some stuff about the whole thing. Matthew Hooks saying this kind of crazy. No Daniel Garcia in New York and no women's backstages. They had some longer matches tonight. And we'll see whatever happens on Collision. And they've got a few more weeks to go until Wrestle Dream really heats up. So I'm hoping that they'll do some more stuff.
I mean, they had, if you look at the past couple of Dynamites, they've had, I mean, last week's Dynamite was heavy backstage stuff everywhere. There was stuff happening. Even before that, there was stuff happening. Yeah. So I think with this, I'm sorry, but Arthur Ashe is a very expensive building to rent, and it's a very expensive place to go. And when New York works on unions, so, you know, like, they probably had to be quick with certain things.
Yeah. That makes sense too. Baba says the two round apertures you are using look like the heel and face tunnels.
Oh,
but wait a minute. Yeah, this is right. I'm you're the face and I'm the heel.
Yes. Yep.
So this is correct. This is the correct alignment.
Yep.
This is the correct alignment. Okay, good. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait now. Watch. Now, who am I? I'm Adam Page. Okay. Tim McFall says, I need this AA meeting after tonight. I laughed. I cried. I cried some more. TK is a sicko. Yes. Nigel Bryan, Will Kyle, and the Bucks. FTW retirement, Mariah, Willow, and Mina. War! P.S. P.S., he says. Your balls are the perfect size.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Tim.
It took time, but we got them.
All right. So, Maddie Nice telling me that Kip tried to join Christian, and he rejected him. So now, Kip is trying to ruin them. Also, he is Will Ospreay's shoot oldest friend. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Again, I do not mean this in any like as an in a negative way. I do not think they have presented Kip Sabian as a guy who is important enough on the show to be like, I'm going to ruin Christian Cage, a former TNT champion and a guy who's got the top a shot at the top title whenever he wants it. They haven't presented Kip as being on that level. And I don't think you can go from he's a guy who used to wear a bag on his head and occasionally he's on Rampage to he's at this top thing. There are steps in between. That's just now, how I prefer to watch stuff. That's all.
He could be an annoyance. I think that you can be a thorn in someone's side. We've seen this in both WWE and any wrestling promotion where you have a top billing, have some type of leech that just kind of is always around trying to like be, you know, annoying, and eventually they'll have a little blow off and whatnot. But that I think is the place where he fits. He might be that annoying little thorn on his side, just trying to like pick at him. And eventually Christian's just going to turn it around and just freaking crush him.
Yeah. So we got Hook defending the AFTW championship. Defending the FTW champion for the final time. against Roderick Strong. This was really good. They used a lot of the hardcore elements really well. Yeah. Russian leg sweep into the barricade, all the stuff with the chairs. I've never seen like, I'm going to throw you up in the air into a gut buster on a chair that's standing up. That looked all kinds of ow.
Yeah.
And the tosses onto chairs and everything. Really good stuff. I love that Hook has a, if I lock this in, you're done.
Yes.
I always love, not everybody shouldn't have this, obviously, but when you have special guys who are good wrestlers, who, like, not necessarily wrestlers as in good grapplers, although that too, but, like, they're good. They're good at it. However, they've got one thing that if they do it to you, you're done. Mm-hmm. So all, like, maybe Roderick Strong's a much better wrestler than Hook. He's probably a much better wrestler than Hook will ever be. But if Hook locks in the Red Rum, you're going to go to sleep unless you tap. And I think that's a really great way, because Roderick was in control of this match and tried to do the end of heartache, that tossing backbreaker.
Yeah.
But was blocked by Hook. Hook got his back. Hook sank in the Red Rum. Dropped him down, wrapped his legs, and that's it. You can't get out of it. I think that was a really well wrestled match. I think that Hook has been improving a lot. I want to see him do more. I think that, okay, so we'll talk about the FTW championship being retired after this. What were your thoughts on the match and how the whole thing played out?
Who else than putting someone like Hook, who's young, still in the learning the business, with Roderick Strong, who is my man, could wrestle. Okay. And if you're going to be with someone that can teach you the ropes and teach you the ways, I think they complemented each other very well. Yeah. The scrappy, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, you know, in the back alley Hook versus the technical wizardry of Roderick Strong, who knows how to pull off moves and is just so smooth. Man, Hook hasn't had a match like this because he's been stuck in this Jericho feud for so long that seeing Hook in this match made me think, holy crap, this kid's ready to kind of start moving a couple steps upward. Not, you know, all the way run, but he's now looking like, you know, someone that could challenge for certain things. He's still not good on the mic. I still think that he needs someone to kind of talk for him. It would be great if his dad did that, to kind of be like his mouthpiece, because we know Taz can talk. But yeah, and then obviously the ending was very, honestly, it looked hard, like it pulled some heartstrings. Like Taz actually looked like, oh man,
oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
happening.
I don't know if Taz knew.
I don't think so either.
It was kind of like a love letter to his dad. I mean, Giovanni calls. Well, first of all, Roderick Strong offers a handshake.
Yeah,
Hook is reluctant to take it, and there was a hug. And like, you never trust Roderick Strong. So I don't know what this is, but if there's not a title for them to fight over, I'm not sure where this particular storyline is headed. However, that's all. That's for another day. Tonight, Giovanni calls him to the outside. Interviews him. He says, I want to thank everybody for supporting me, supporting this title for all these years. And 26 years, I think he says.
Yeah.
But all good things must come to an end. This is it. I'm going to retire this and give it back to my dad, the guy who started it. We didn't need an FTW championship. We have a lot of titles already. I liked that there was a thing that whenever you defended the title, it could be a hardcore match. That was fun. I don't know if we need a hardcore belt, but like every time that AEW does a designated street fight or Texas death match, those things always hit. So it's kind of cool to have a division where all the matches must be contested under those rules. But I don't know what we're going to go now with that. The thing that I was looking at this with Hook, because you're right, he's not great on the mic. And he's also still really young, and you forget how few matches he's really had.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of time left with Hook. And if he's decided to, like, stick around for AEW for a while, which, you know, I hope that he does. I think there's a lot still that he could learn. There was an amazing partnership that was going on with him and Samoa Joe. And the trio, when you threw in Shibata on Google Translate, was fun too. But just if it was just, if it was just Joe and Hook, they had something really special in the backstage stuff and in the ring too. And I think there's so much that a guy like Hook could learn, like not just the character learning from the character, but the man learning from the man. Like, there's such cool stuff you could do with Samoa Joe and Hook. Hell, give them the titles at one point. Let them run with the titles for 4 months.
Yeah.
You know, they're really fun. They're totally different than anybody else in the tag division. I think that could be a really good way. Let Hook run with Joe for a year. Let him do fun stuff. And then see where we're at that point, and he can move up and go beyond that at that point.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about wrestling, right? That you can pretty much just get away with putting together these makeup teams, and we've seen WWE do it. We've seen MLW, everyone, TNA, just kind of put two random off the cuff people together that actually like really work and do really well, you know, together. So I would love a pairing again with those two, man.
Yeah. Maddie Nice says, special F you to the reporter who asked at the All In scrum about the FTW belt being a joke, because now it's retired. We need a lucha belt now. And Luis says, CMLL has like 33 active titles currently. That is a shoot number.
Wow.
33. Everyone's like, AEW's got too many titles. CMLL has 33, apparently.
That's crazy.
I'm taking Luis's word for it here.
That's crazy.
We could just send one of the champions on an extended excursion to AEW, and that'll be your lucha title.
It's not wrong.
There you go. So the world tag titles between the Young Bucks and Will Ospreay and Carl Fletcher, I think kind of inarguably match of the night. Even though I love Danielson and McGinnis, that was really strong, like in-ring storytelling. This stuff had stuff that happened in minute five that I had never seen before. There were like three extended finishing stretches before they got to the actual finishing stretch. This was amazing. Everybody who was like, "Oh, man, I hate the build for this," were like, it's Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, the best guy in the world right now and the best guy in the world in 5 years, versus the Young Bucks, who are what? At worst, the second or third best tag team in the world, maybe one of the top two ever. I mean, it's a great match. These guys made magic together. There was amazing stuff in here. Of course, I do not love that there was a bunch of histrionics at the end of this thing. A lot of shenanigans that kind of get in the way of my enjoyment of the end of a match when stuff like this is booked. However, it was all handled well. And so before we get to the end thing, what did you think of the match and these two teams taking on each other?
So the minute that they came out, and by they I mean Kyle Fletcher and Ospreay, sort of start thinking, how has anyone missed the boat with these guys?
I know.
Right? And how fortunate are we to be able to see them on Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
The way that they feed off each other. I mean, Ospreay alone is mind-boggling that he was just dangling out there chilling.
Yeah.
You know? So it was great to see. Let me tell you something. There's a difference. There's a difference between the wrestling and what's going on in the ring when the crowd is on the edge of their seat, if not standing up like they were. If you replay the match, you'll see everyone going, I don't want to curse, effing bonkers. Yeah. Okay? Bonkers. And the ambience and the sounds that you can hear from all the way from the upper deck down to the bottom person who's sitting in front. They fed these wrestlers so much, and they were so hyped. I didn't like a lot of the false finishes. They added to the flair, which is why everyone was going bonkers. That's something that AEW knows how to do very well, is the false finishes.
There were a couple that Ospreay and Fletcher had that I was like, are they going to change the tag titles?
Yeah.
Like, I honestly thought as the hand was coming down for the two, I was like, are they going to? Oh. And I like, it was like, I am usually really, I'm usually hard to get in one of those things because I'm like, it's too early in the match. There wasn't a proper build to this particular pinfall, or there's no way this team is losing the titles tonight. And to that, I was like, I think twice I was like, holy, oh, okay. But they got me twice, which is hard to do because I'm really cynical about this kind of stuff.
They were like, moving so
good,
fast.
Really good.
That you just didn't know what was going to happen, including the Young Bucks. There was sometimes the Young Bucks, I was like, oh, it's over here. And then you're like, wait a second, you know? But other than that, I think that it's not really a gripe. It's just, you know, just, okay, you guys got to understand, for 18 plus years, there was only one place that we watched. So it's hard to retrain, even after 5 years, a brain sometimes on how professional wrestling should go, you know, and how matches should be put together, which is, I think, what a lot of the crowd is having a lot of problems with that are not AEW fans, is how to get into it, because it's hard sometimes to kind of see this new age of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the thing that got me into thinking, oh, wrestling can be more than what I've been watching, was Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Because I could never get into TNA. ROH wasn't a thing for, like, I wasn't watching that stuff. And I found Lucha Underground through a friend who was like, you got to see this. And I was watching, I was like, oh, so wrestling can be different from what the major thing was.
Yes.
And then, to WWE's credit, somehow, the Cruiserweight Classic and so the absolute golden years of NXT. Yes. And then 2018 205 Live, I was like, wrestling can be good. It can be really good. It can be really great in-ring stuff with all of this other stuff surrounding it. And so that is what shaped what I wanted to see out of stuff. And I'm watching this, and I mean, this was excellent. The Coriolis, I bit on that. I bit on the TK driver. Those two were the ones I was like, I think they're gonna win. No. It was so good. Now, comes down to the end. Don Callis, Lieutenant Colonel says that after the Coriolis, I bit. I think I bit harder on the TK driver just because the rhythm was so great going into that. But yeah, no, both of them were very good. Now, at the end, Don Callis comes out from behind the commentary and he gives the screwdriver to Kyle Fletcher. And then he runs around the ring and he goes and he distracts the referee. And Kyle Fletcher gets in and he's going to stab one of the Young Bucks with the screwdriver. And Will Ospreay stops his arm. No, we're not going to do it like this. We're not going to win like that. That's not who we're going to be. Takes the screwdriver and hands it to the referee. And then basically just everything after that was all, let's get rid of Ospreay and then do a bunch of stuff to Kyle. Kyle took something crazy and kicked out of it. But then a double super kick, and then the EVP trigger, and he couldn't kick out of that. And Will was done. I forget what they did to him, but he was out.
Yeah.
It's. I thought that this was really excellently done. There was a lot of, emoting after the match between Fletcher and Ospreay that I'm really not sure what this signifies, but they came out in absolute matching entrance attire. They had matching gear. This had United Empire feels all over it. I don't know if Mark Davis is close to coming back. I thought maybe there was a chance that he came out here. Like if Okada came out to help the Young Bucks, like Mark Davis would come out to like cancel him out.
Yeah.
But no, so I don't know where this goes. I know it looks like Ospreay's going to try and coax Fletcher away from, from Callis. What do you think is going on?
When I look at it, I love that final shot, with Kyle Fletcher's foot in the ring. overlooking past it, and you see how not upset, but how confused Ospreay is as to, like, why would we go there and why would we do this? You know, like, this is the match that we were having, and that's the route that you wanted to take, you know. And I do hope, because I've seen AEW now starting to move into more storytelling. I know Adam Copeland mentioned it too, that they're doing some more storytelling. I hope that they touch base on this again. They touch base on what happened there at the end of the match, the disappointment that he felt, just because it feels like there could be something there after the fact that, you know, I don't think Ricochet is going to win next week. Right. So you have a Kyle Fletcher kind of like maybe go after Ospreay for the title.
Maybe.
Then you see the dissension there. Like, they kind of start, you know, the best fights are always between friends and brothers, right? Like,
sure.
So.
Yeah, there's a lot there. Karl Marx says, I'm just saying, Alex looking kind of scrumptious right now. I don't
know which one is that. Yeah. Alex. Well, Alex, because your name is Alex.
Let's be honest. Of the two of us, you are the more scrumptious. I can say it. I'm secure. I'm secure enough to say that you are the more scrumptious. That's fine.
Well, if it's
I've
me,
no problem with, I've no problem saying that.
Trying to look my best for Alex. Anytime I'm on with Pulaski, I have to look my game, my best game, put on a nice X-Men. He has a t-shirt game that no one else can compare to. So, you know, I have to come on here. And,
I'm just happy about NBA season starting. That's all this.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But then he says, by the way, Bucks were locked in today. My goat's still goating.
Mm.
They looked really, really good tonight.
They did. And after the show, by the way, you know, not after the show, but I'm sorry, after the match, like, when the camera was there, it's like, see, we still got it. Apologize to us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they know.
Mark Briscoe officially, well, I think actually Orange Cassidy officially welcomes Rocky Romero into the conglomeration, which is good because they have shirts now.
Yeah.
With like the lazy OC drawing. But one of them is just a head with an eye patch. So that's Rocky Romero. I'm wondering, before he was officially inducted, he's like, hey, who are the guys on your shirt, Orange? He's like, this is me, and that's Kyle, and that's Briscoe, and I don't know, Dennis Hopper from Waterworld? I don't know.
Funny.
I don't know who this is, but that was fun. And then we get, you know, Mark Briscoe saying they're going to beat up Chris Jericho and all the guys on Collision. And let's hope that they do.
I love his shtick. He's pretty good.
It was fun. It's Briscoe doing his shtick. It's fun. Prince Nana was interviewed, brought out some coffee, his brand of coffee, brought out, and to be interviewed by Shivani about what's been going on with Swerve Strickland. And he's not medically cleared, but he will be, as he's working really hard to get medically cleared. He will be back as soon as possible. And then MVP comes out. And he's like, everybody, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is MVP. And like, yes, we know. And I'm glad that you could, is it, can you trademark or, you know, what do you call it? File for a copyright on three letters of the alphabet back to back to back. Is that a thing you could copyright, or I'm not sure how that works, but good for him for being able to be called that still. That's nice.
Yeah. It's not his real initials, is it?
Montel Vontavious Porter is his shoot name. But it is one of my all time favorite wrestler names.
Alex, can I just tell you that there's times that I like to blur reality and just still live in kayfabe. Sometimes it's still real to me.
Like from the first moment that I saw that guy in WWE, my name is Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP. I was like, that's dope. That's great. Vontavious is amazing. But Montel Vontavious Porter, MVP, that's S tier. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, that's
so,
up there.
So he comes out. He's in the suit. He's got the cane or whatever. He says, listen, I
he
think
looks
this
good, by the way.
He does. He looks good. He says, I think Swerve's amazing, most dangerous man in AEW, one of the best champions I've ever had. He lists all the people that he's beaten, but he did lose to Danielson. And what I want to know is, I watched him lose to Danielson. I watched his house get burned to the ground, watched him lose to Hangman. So what I want to know is, why is the guy who beat him still walking around? Why is the guy who burned his house down not dead in the ground somewhere? And it's not Swerve's fault, it's his management's fault. So, here is my card. You tell Swerve, you give that to Swerve. Tell him to call me when he's ready to do business.
Yes!
There's zero chance MVP is coming in without Bobby Lashley. Oh, that is, that's a thing. And I mean, like, listen, I don't know if I need Swerve joining the Hurt Syndicate or whatever they're going to call it. But feuding with the Hurt Syndicate might be fun.
Yes.
Oh, Bobby Lashley versus Swerve would be fun. Some fun stuff. Maybe.
I'm chomping at the bits, man, because you know what? the storytelling there. First of all, MVP is a champ on the microphone. So the stories that he's able to put together and talk about.
It'd be good.
But before I even get any further, can we give freaking Prince Nana some love? Yeah. The man got on the mic and killed it.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, no pauses, word for word what he needed to say. My God. He was really excellent. His facial expressions, his body language when MVP came out. Like, there was a synergy there between these two. And might I add that there is a photo of the whole segment from the stage. And who do you see? On the far left, Will Hobbs looking through the curtain doing their bit.
I missed it. I didn't see that at all.
That was a fan. A fan took it.
Awesome.
A fan who was there noticed that he was there and snapped
it. That's on purpose. I said this at the time when people were saying what happens if Lashley goes to if they try and reform the Hurt Business.
Sure.
In AEW, who do you want in there? And I said Hobbs because, like, there's. I mean, I'm sorry. Hobbs is great, and I think I think he's really, really, really good now, and has the potential to be one of the top big men in the world.
I agree.
There's nobody like. There are very few guys you could train with, learn from. A wrestle alongside and finally at the end feud against that would be better for him to learn all that stuff than one of the all-time strength dudes in Bobby Lashley.
Oh my God.
But Hobbs eventually having to have the feud against Bobby Lashley to get out from under him. And again, that's like 2 years from now. You could do really good stuff with him being recruited by him, learning from him, becoming his weapon, them teaming together, whatever. Also, I'm just putting it out there. I hope Shelton Benjamin is part of this. I really do. I don't know if that's the plan, but I would love it if Shelton was part of this as well. But I think Hobbs would fit right in with them. Be really good.
I'll tell you what right now. These last Burr months, as I like to call them, the Burr months, are gonna be telling for AEW to what they will be doing for 2025. Yeah. They're about to end this year really strong with a lot of good faces. And, you know, I mean, the TV deal, everything else that they're doing, their matches, their storytelling, people coming back from injuries. Everything is kind of coming back in full fold for them. So there's a chance here that 2025 will start on top of the world. And I hope people start taking notice and realizing that show tonight in New York was freaking excellent. New York City came out in full force, man.
Yeah. The business card did read Hurt Syndicate. So Luis saying, if you are not hyped, start now. Apparently... MVP's shoot name is Alvin.
Oh.
So we just need him to feud with Roddy Strong. so Roddy can just go, Alvin! And he's got to, but he's got to do it like the week before Christmas. The week before Christmas. And I don't know, can we figure out a way? Is Ted DiBiase Jr. in jail currently? Because if not, sign him for 1 week because he's Theodore. Who's Simon Dean? Is he still around?
Yeah, he's still around.
Let's just get those Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, right?
That would be great.
Could be good.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Ann Simmons says, I don't think Ricochet will win next week, but with the emergence of MVP, I think a great heel turn is right there to do what WWE didn't let them do and put him with the Hurt Business. And Lashley said, I believe, that Ricochet and Cedric were initially pitched as a team that would work alongside the Hurt Business.
Oh.
Like, here's the deal. Like, everybody, like, oh, is like a guy in a faction. I mean, it's like, if they pitch them up near the top of stuff, because, like, listen, I'm not saying this is what they're going to do, but if the world title lineage was Danielson loses to Moxley, Darby finally proves to Moxley that he will be a world champion, and, you know, he ends up beating Moxley and Darby becomes the champion. And either you have Christian successfully cash in on Darby, or you have Christian lose when he cashes in on Moxley or whatever, and that's out of the way.
Yeah.
If Darby makes it past Christian and Bobby Lashley pins Darby, you could have a Bobby Lashley as the world champion with a bunch of dudes around him. I'm not saying he's got to be world champion for 6 months or even like, but you could do that. And it would be kind of cool to like make a really cool, awesome faction of dudes. It's possible. I'm just saying it's possible. So
I have to say the roster is so jam packed with great talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could only imagine if Bobby does show up.
Yeah.
How this tilts the scales in a favorable manner for them, with the star power, people of color with star right. power, first of all. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you have the, you know, because wrestling is even, you know, has checks and balances. They're losing people, they gain people. You lose people, you gain people. This is a big gain for them. Bobby Lashley is a wealth of knowledge. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
God. And then you just mentioned that, like, let's say you have a Bobby Lashley as champion. You have a Swerve come back and chase. That chase against Bobby Lashley, bro.
Like if Swerve has a match, Swerve's first match back, let's say at Wrestle Dream in Tacoma, because there's no way he's from Tacoma. There's no way he's not having that match. If he loses in Tacoma to Bobby Lashley, and then is able to, once Bobby Lashley becomes the champion, to chase and maybe topple him, like there's a lot of stuff that you could do.
We're gonna be eating real good. A lot of meat. A lot of meat in AEW soon.
New Japan just announced that Tanahashi and Kenny Omega will have a reunion to promote New Japan and AEW Wrestle Dynasty. Not a match yet, crucially, apparently, but a reunion. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. So that's interesting. Meet Norma says, here's a small sack of monies for Sour Clavicle Hour.
Yeah.
Still waiting for Meet Mayhem, but tonight was cool. FTW was retired finally. The AEW Women's World Championship, Mariah May defeated Yuka Sakazaki. This was good. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be bad. Man. Mariah May hits really hard. Yuka Sakazaki's a great baby face. This was good.
Strong style Mariah, her name should be, because she hits.
I cannot say how much I love her winning with the Storm Zero. She just stole that straight up from her greatest rival and is using it without permission and is just finishing people all the time with it. It's great. I think it's so cool. I think that the first person to kick out of it should be Toni Storm.
Yes.
No one ever kicks out of that until Toni Storm comes back and has her rematch with her, whenever that's going to be, and Toni Storm kicks out of it. I think probably have her kick out of it in Australia in February.
Oh my God.
Like that's the way to do it. I don't know if she wins a match versus Mariah to take the title back, but she damn sure should kick out of the Storm Zero in Australia.
I think a 6-month run, right? That's what it would be. Yeah. Of Mariah holding the title is telling. You trusted her to hold it. She did her thing. And if that's the end game down there, bro, wow. Grand Slam, Australia. Oh, man. There's a lot of cooking going on.
So, after the match, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. After the match, we get Mariah May with some extracurriculars on Yuka Sakazaki, rubbing it in, so to speak. And out comes Willow. And I was like, Willow?
Mm-hmm.
She's still the CMLL Women's Champion? Luis, that's a question I'm asking you. She's still the CMLL Women's Champion? Yes? Because she and Statlander never had the match for that belt. They had a big time match at All Out, which Statlander won.
Yeah.
So I thought that eventually she lost it. She lost it to somebody else.
Cool.
So Statlander never got a match for that title?
Huh.
She lost to Zeuxis. Okay.
She lost it to Mexico, huh?
All right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That feels weird because you explicitly stated there was going to be a match between Willow and Statlander for the title. And then you made the match have a stipulation that cannot be honored for the title according to the bylaws of CMLL. And then she just lost it anyway. So that feels weird. But also, Stat won the match. She won the feud. It does feel weird that you would do... Willow's like, yeah, I lost my title to somebody else in Mexico and also lost recently to Statlander, but I'm coming for your world title, Mariah May. I love Willow. But it doesn't feel like she's in the right spot in the chow line.
The pecking order, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it feels like... I don't feel like she's, you know... Is Statlander injured? Statlander's not injured, is she?
Oh, God, not again. Really?
Man, I hope not.
Oh, my gosh. That poor woman. That poor woman.
I hope not. She's great.
That would mean... If she is injured, that would 100%... You could see why this happened tonight.
I don't. I don't know if this is true or not. She was injured. That sucks. I don't know who your guys' sources are. But if it's true, it really sucks. I'm not casting doubt specifically. I just say I didn't hear that. So we can figure out if Sean had say it or whatever.
But you know what? Willow's always coming to the rescue, no matter what. She's always been the one that kind of shows up.
They said on commentary she's a known friend and consort of Yuka Sakazaki. Willow versus Mariah May matches, hell yes, all day. I just wish she wasn't coming off of a very high-profile loss. I'm sorry that I am the stickler for wins and losses should matter. You should be coming off a major win if you then have a title shot. That's just my own thing.
You know what's going to happen? We're just going to have different variations of the matches, tag teams, handicaps, all kinds of stuff. And then WrestleDream, Willow will be like, I want to go after that title.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that goes down from there.
Then Willow and Mariah get into it a little bit. And then, that's what it is. Mina shows up after Willow. Willow turns around to see her, and then she takes a shot to the back of the head from Mariah. Yeah. And Mariah, sweeps Mina off her feet, and Mina's not so sure about any of this. And then Willow and Mina kind of, have a little stare off, and Mariah's like, come with me down the heel tunnel. It'll be fun. And Mina's like not sure what to do about any of this. So a weird little kind of three-way dance type of deal between Willow and Mina and Mariah. If the women's title match at WrestleDream is Mina versus Mariah versus Willow, I'm not saying I would not like it. I just don't know how we got Willow involved in it, because it does feel like it was going to be obviously Mina versus Mariah, and now we will have Willow involved. I love Willow. I think the match will be amazing.
Well, you still have World's End, and I think with World's End being the very last pay-per-view of the year, you could have Mina kind of like go after Mariah.
You could wait long enough. I honestly, yeah. Listen, you know what? Toni Storm, have a damn vacation.
Hell yeah.
You've been killing yourself, but it is weird we haven't heard from her at all. I was hoping she was going to be wandering around backstage completely insane by now, but we don't have that at that point, but yeah.
I think it'll eventually come around, especially once, you know, we got to start promoting for Australia in February. She's going to start showing her face. Oh, full gear too. Yeah, I forgot we got full gear. Gosh, we got a couple to go.
Yeah. So okay. People are saying also maybe it'll be a tag match. Yuka and Willow versus Mariah and Mina, with Mina not really sure what to do. Yeah.
Remember when AEW had 4 pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
I do. Willow apparently is going to be in the Women's International Grand Prix for CMLL. And Red Velvet will also be in there, and more.
I did see that, yes.
Okay. Main event. Darby Allin versus Jon Moxley. For the first, 3 minutes of this match, it was just Jon Moxley kicking Darby's ass. He kicked the ring rope into his mouth and caused him to bleed everywhere. And I was like, I don't know, I feel like Darby's getting in too much offense here. Ironically. So like, I couldn't believe this match started so early in the night. I was like,
yeah.
I thought the plan was for Moxley to just go absolute ham on him. And he did. But, you know, Darby has to have all of his spots and everything where he does all the stuff. I love Marina Shafir. Marina Shafir has such an aura about her, man.
My
She's
God.
So great. And She's like, so where great. We're like, where Darby was going to, like, I don't know, do a snap suplex or something to Mox on some chairs on the outside, and she just stood in his way.
She stood in his way, yeah. Oh.
She didn't do anything but stand there. And Darby was like, hey, I wanted to do stuff behind you. And Marina's like, you're not going to. It was great. I think she had so much. She was like her just peeling back layers and layers of the mats, like one layer and then two, and just get those over here so we can have a whole playground of stuff to do things on. Darby going kersplat on a one of his suicide cannonball things onto the wood on the outside. Moxley just tossing him. There was one where he tossed him into the turnbuckle in the middle turnbuckles, and he threw it, bounced off, caromed around, and banged on it on the ring steps on his way out. That dude, I mean, like, he's one of those things of like,
he's Gumby. I
mean, it's cliche to be like, you know. Dude, do you want to be doing this when you're 35 years old or not? Like, there's some crazy ass bumps. I mean, I've grown very tired of the guy, but everybody else loves him. And if we're trying to make money off of the dude and have some longevity, there's just some extra stuff that he does to himself that he doesn't need to, in my humble opinion. This comes down to Darby not being able to be put away. The crowd, as Benny says in a Humper Chat, you can't kill him, is what the crowd is chanting.
Yeah.
I wanted Moxley to go get a microphone and go, watch me drop the microphone and just do Death Rider, Death Rider, Death Rider, 1, 2, 3. I wanted him to, like, I thought that was an amazing moment that could have been captured as, like, part of the story of the match. And it kind of was. Like, he got down on all fours and went forehead to forehead and said, you want this? Well, then show me.
Yeah.
And then eventually, Darby said, I'm going to superplex you off the top rope. And Moxley said, actually, I'm just going to jump forward and DDT you. from 18 feet in the air.
Yo, that was
an avalanche Death Rider going forwards, which is something I've not seen very often. That was a really cool finish. Moxley
they
wins.
They trust each other. That's all I got to say.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I think that mutual respect that Moxley was talking about to Darby is true. I've always said, like, Darby is the guy who says, I don't care if I die in the ring. And Moxley is the guy that says, cool, I don't care if I kill you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect match. Like, that's why this like, as much as I honestly, again, am very tired of the Darby stuff, I think there is a great story to be told between the guy who is, again, does not care if he dies, and the guy who does not care if he kills you. That's a really cool overarching story to do, especially with Mox coming in and saying, I want your title shot. You're never going to be champion. Not now, certainly, but never. And honestly, I'm the only guy who's going to tell you the truth. You're never going to be champion. Sure. So then that's a story where Darby not only proves Moxley wrong, but proves Moxley wrong by beating Moxley for the title, yeah. Which is why I'm 1,000,000% sure that Moxley is beating Bryan Danielson. I always do that at WrestleDream.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts overall about how this whole thing shook out before we get to Danielson's extracurriculars?
I'll tell you what, man. It was to me, hard hitting. These two really went hard at each other. They lived up to the fact that they said they were gonna, you know, be violent. Moxley just, I think I said this to Kate and probably you 2 weeks ago. Moxley's AEW to me now. He really breathes, is. Bleeds, and looks and sweats AEW. Like he is that. And the Moxley character, I can't remember anything about this is like for real. Like I don't even remember what they called him. Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose, yes.
I don't remember anything about that era. But everything that he's done in the ring has had a purpose. And he beat the living life out of Darby. And Darby now has to find a way to climb out of this hole that he's just been dug into. I don't know how he does it. He always does, by the way. But he will. And, I mean, big ups, man. Big ups. Because when you put this on paper, you look at Darby and you stare at him. You're like, how is this guy ever going to go up against someone like Mox who could just fling him away? But right. They proved that it could be done.
Right. I mean, it's Darby. You say the Gumby thing, like Darby can't be actually hurt. You know what I mean? It's
correct.
He's,
you're right.
He
has.
He can't really be hurt. If he was an X-Man, his power would just be infinite regeneration. But he has no real offensive. At least the way I know he's better than this, which is what ticks me off about watching it. Because you're 120 pounds just throwing your body at people. And I mean, sure, but like, I know you've got technique because I've seen it in other matches, but now your whole shtick is I'm 120 pounds and I'm going to throw myself at you. And that's not really offense to me. Because there's no strategy around it except for how fast can I run to throw myself at you.
Sure.
And with a guy like Mox, you'll get in some shots on him, but eventually he will hit you hard enough that you won't be able to get up.
I think that will come with time. Well, another thing before I let you finish about everything that happened afterwards. If you look at what Darby has done since he joined the company, I definitely think of him as one of the pillars. He's always been out front with everything that he's done. He's had some really good, memorable matches. And then you got to see that these videos that he's done, like of the places that he's gone and done media, he's so very well spoken.
Oh, sure.
And line for line, like he's very, very smart.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's one that eventually, just like you said, his time will come when he will stop being that battering ram
right,
and start thinking story-wise, how can I be effective?
Yeah. Yes, it's very true.
He's smart, man. He's a filmmaker, yeah, too. He's a storyteller.
No, yeah, yeah. Tina Keys says, solid show tonight, all. Excited to witness that main event for Wrestle Dream. Yes. So afterwards, we get Danielson running down and wrapping a belt or something around the throat of Moxley, just cranking on it. And Marina Shafir gets in and like puts him in a rear naked choke and is trying to pull him off of Moxley. Yo. Can't Dwight do it? Here comes Claudio. Here comes Pac. And they're able to finally get Danielson off of him. But here comes, and again, this is, I like all three of these guys. Okay. Yeah. I just feel like you skipped steps between them being guys who lose on Rampage a lot and being involved in a major main event storyline. Private Party's great. Give them some wins, build them up, give them a title match, put them over, make them a tag team champions. That is, by the way, a thing you could have done 2 years ago and it would have been too late. Do it now, for God's sake, okay? I like them, but they've kind of just wound up here as opposed to like being built over time to be this, these guys who feel like they're right underneath the main event level. They don't feel like that to me because they haven't been built over time to be that. And Commander, listen, Commander's really fun. He runs the ropes and does crazy flips and stuff. He's great.
Sure.
He's Costco brand Rey Fénix. I don't feel like he's, listen, there's some really good stuff you can get that's Costco brand.
I love Costco.
However, it's not name brand. It's not sure. Designer level, which sure. is what Rey Fénix is. And Commander doing really cool stuff is cool. But also, I feel like I watched him lose way more matches than I've seen him win.
Sure.
And now he's with Private Party as a trio, which you never showed them getting together as a trio on TV that I've ever seen. So there's now a trio. And they are Bryan Danielson's backup in a feud with Moxley, Claudio, and Pac. And I just don't feel like that is a thing, you know what I mean?
I think this is the brain of Danielson working. Let me get these guys who are not getting the shine.
You know what?
Who could possibly, yeah, you know, they're gonna get their ass kicked, but they're gonna throw down with you.
You're right.
Because
you're
if you look at Danielson could very well get his ass kicked by by Moxley, but he's gonna throw down with you.
I mean, Brandon, the thing was, is they had a trios match. And they were already all set to have a trios match. And then the BCC attacked them. So I know why they hate the BCC.
Yes.
But why were they a trio? When have they ever been a trio before? That's the thing that doesn't make any sense. And they did a whole thing on Rampage where Scorpio Sky and Private Party were going to have a meeting together about being a trio. And there's no Scorpio Sky anymore.
Pro wrestling, baby. Pro wrestling.
Right?
I love it.
It was not a belt. It was a purple tie. I think it was to signify the one that he used on Justin Roberts.
On like Justin Roberts, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I love this soap opera for men.
Yeah.
And women.
Yeah. Ronald Hollick says, no ramps for Grand Slam after price paid last year. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, let's not have ramps just in case Adam Cole, who Adam is Cole. still not wrestling, jumped off a ramp, fell 3 feet, and shattered his ankle so badly, a year later he can't wrestle.
Sick.
Man, here's the deal. Every time I'm like, Darby, why are you doing that bump? Adam Cole is out for a year plus because he did a little running hop off of a ramp. Like
my,
you know,
God.
What? You can never tell what's going to be the thing that really, really hurts you.
I know. It's crazy. The smallest of little bumps, man.
Jordan Scott says, going with the earlier comment on possible hurt syndicate of top POC, with new and need refreshing. Lashley, MVP, Shelton, Hobbs, Keith Lee, Ricochet, Scorpio. That'd be a really great way to. That'd be a really good way to rebuild Scorpio is to put him in there. That'd be a really good way.
Oh.
That'd be a really good way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody wrote on Twitter, how black is Tony trying to go? And then they said, and then the young lady was like, you better pull the motherfucking trigger. I'm like, okay, I love this. I love where this is going. Get them all, get everyone in, involved, get as many factions together as possible.
Yeah.
And let's just run with it, man. And let's just have fun. I think that's what's missing. Let's have go out there and you got the talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Luis says if you do put Keith Lee in the Hurt Syndicate and Swerve does feud with the Hurt Syndicate, if we'd actually get Keith Lee versus Swerve finally, 3 years too late. Like it's been a long ass time.
Keith Lee's been out for 2 years after that brick.
He came back for a little while and then he.
I just put it all together. I don't remember him coming back.
And Ronald, we definitely have to see Bobby Lashley and Lio Rush cross paths.
Holy Jesus Christ.
Like, just Lio Rush going like, hey, hit him with that pose. Lashley, Lashley, Lashley.
Oh, my God. I'm just putting it out. I am so happy that there's a second top-tier promotion out there. No disrespect to TNA, MLW, anyone out there. But I am so happy that this exists. Hmm? So happy.
Yeah, that's good. We're in good shape moving to WrestleDream. There's a lot of really cool stuff that is like Ricochet versus Ospreay is next week on a like just free TV. So like there's so much stuff coming out there. We didn't like as far as I can tell. There's nothing for Mercedes at all on Dynamite or Collision.
No.
So. We need to hit whatever's going on for Mercedes for WrestleDream needs to heat up soon.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of things that could be done. We're looking at some good stuff in the fall moving into the wintertime with AEW. Cardoza, where can people find you and what will you be doing when they find you there?
Well, friends, you can find me at Jacksonville County Jail, and I'll probably be cleaning up the streets at nighttime. Nah, just kidding. You can find me Alexis Cardoza on Instagram and _ Alexis Cardoza on Twitter, even though I barely use that. I go in there to do fun stuff and talk to people and get yelled at by people and get cursed at for loving WWE and cursed at for loving AEW, which is really cool. I love that. That's my favorite part of it.
That's always good. Yep.
That's always great.
Pick a side. this is war. You must choose a side. You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on Twitter and also on Threads. Although I really don't know.
Oh yeah, welcome.
I don't know what that's all about. So maybe I'll be there. Whatever. So Fightful Select, by the way. Fightful Select. This is the other thing. Is that we have the Fightful Select is the best $5 in the business you can spend. This is the thing I should have been promoting all night long. Fightful Select having all kinds of contract news about people. There was some stuff that dropped today about AJ Styles when his deal might be up. There's a lot of really good stuff over there. Also over there, you will get me on Mondays and, on Fridays reviewing, Raw and SmackDown and also, on, Tuesdays on this year channel reviewing NXT with Kate. that will be all for us.
And who was our wonderful sponsors tonight?
Yeah, I know. I was kind of waiting for somebody to throw me a line with who those people are because I have no idea. Luis, any time before now would have been good with this thing. Anytime before now, Luis, would have been good with one of these. I don't know who the sponsors are. I never handle the sponsors. I don't know who that is. Who is it?
We were so busy trying to figure out the size of our balls, but
N. Simmons says, Ricochet, Hobbs, Shelton, and Lashley versus the Elite, BCC and BCG are great faction feuds. They could add Queen Aminata as the women.
Oh,
as
my well. Gosh.
She fits them.
So that's a lot. Listen,
there was some balls talk tonight about the size of our balls. Okay? And if you're not worried necessarily about the size of your balls, but about the appearance of your balls,
manscaped.com and the code Fightful. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real, when they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out. From ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, they have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped.
Also, big breaking news tonight. No longer will Bleacher Report be broadcasting the pay-per-views for AEW. But if you have our next sponsor, you won't need to worry about that at all.
I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it. But I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet. Global server network. All that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy. All the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Smooth as ever.
That was great.
That's what we call efficiency, my friends.
We did it.
So, yeah. I that was my bad. But thanks everybody for being here. We'll see you all next time. thank you, Alexis, for joining. Thank you, Alexis, for joining us tonight. We'll hope to have you back again because the chat seems to love you.
Oh.
A lot more than Sean is going to love me after me forgetting the sponsor. Goodbye, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.